welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, I'm sorry I missed the big show last night, but I was utterly knackered. And I was still working until midnight last night, so I do apologise. But I thought, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the Mac Show. And Muller turned up on the doorstep, so I didn't have a chance to cry off, really. We're here to discuss the week in Apple. The panel that's joining me does include Doc Rock, but as you'll see from the people behind me, Doc is not here yet. So he's obviously still out partying. Or not got up because he partied too late. So we'll see how we go. Joining me to discuss the week in Apple, a man who hasn't been here for a while, but is making a very welcome return. It's the big Don, Dad Don.
Yes, thank you. I know, yeah, it's been a while. And thank you for my long-standing invitation. But things are quieting down a bit now. I did a lot of travelling this year, so I've been here, there, and everywhere. And it, as always, it's always either catching up or preparing to do something. But nice relaxed couple of months now, so I can perhaps do a few more.
Well, you've got 2 hours not thinking about it and during and shooting the shit with us, mate.
Yeah, sounds good.
Well, you're one of the founder members, so you get a seat automatically.
Oh, good. Yeah, no, it's good to be back. Good to be back. Nice to chat with you guys again.
Brilliant. Next to him, in luscious video, it was well worth the restart, mate. You look, I'm going to suggest we might even have a bit of lip sync. Adam Christensen.
Lip sync, huh?
No, we haven't got lip sync. That's a bit of, that was a hope too far.
In sync? Wait, what's going on?
Oh, I don't know. I've got to figure out how to do lip sync. I've got a machine that's powerful enough for this. I don't know why it doesn't lip sync, but Leo doesn't get these problems.
I'm out of lip sync, so I look like a bad Japanese film.
You're the closest so far. Maybe. What you been up to then, mate?
Just work.
Oh, life, bad luck.
Trying to balance it all.
Those look like, to your right, they look like cloth samples, like you're about to redecorate the cupboard.
No, this is, because I'm in this closet and it gets a million degrees, this was actually a damp, it's like one of those wicking cloths,
All right.
That takes sweat and stuff away, because I was dying in here over the summer, so.
Have you not got air conditioning pipes in there yet?
No. No, the plan is to actually get some sort of proper studio at some point.
Yeah,
it's just getting together the funds to make that happen.
Well, you could either take the funds and buy a really good studio, or you could take the funds and have something that's absolutely brilliant, which is the best closet in the entire Californian.
Right, I could put my kids through college.
Yeah, just turn that into the closet to die for and do podcasts from it. Live from the closet.
Yeah, I don't know. We got to figure something out before next summer. But luckily, it's cooling off a little bit now, so
we're
okay for a while.
3 weeks on the trot, in for a hat trick, William, arse green.
Yes, thank you. Adam, you can always come to my cellar if you want.
How tall is your cellar?
Say again, sorry?
How tall is your cellar? Can you stand up straight in it?
Yeah, about 7 foot, I'd say.
Oh, really? Because normally cellars are crap for that kind of stuff. You end up diseased when you're down there.
It's a nice invite, but it's also, I think, the opening plot to many a horror film. So I don't know what I should say.
Greeny cellar.
Yeah. I mean, okay.
Come look at my cellar.
I'll get a hatch put in there. And I'll
Don't mind that hatchet.
In a world in Telford.
It also worries me that he's sitting in the fireplace as well. There must be a reason for that. So.
In Englandshire.
Don't mind that hatchet and that large hole that I dug down here.
Just look the other
way.
It'd be really good. I'll put a carpet down there for you. Chuck you some food through the hatch. And that'll be okay. But don't tell anybody you're coming.
And Greeny's your number one fan. Greeny, are you sat on the floor?
Yes.
Is it that bad? You've burnt the chairs now.
No, it wasn't. Sometimes when you get older and you like to have a bit of heat on your back, the fire is warming my back. It's rather nice.
All right, so if you start filling with smoke, we'll call the fire brigade.
Yes, if you don't mind. But thing
great,
is...
Great expectations.
Throw another Greeny on the fire.
I'll be moving outside shortly because the children will be home from school and it'll get rather chaotic. So I will take it to an outside broadcast.
Throw another member of the riffraff on the fire. Warm the place up.
You can come to our cellar too if you want to.
Don's Cellar. That sounds like a wine show, doesn't it? I bet Don's got a proper wine cellar.
No.
30 to 60 feet long with 1,000 bottles of wine in it, dating back to before
I
was
born. I like those that you can, have you seen those ones that you can sort of bore out of the kitchen? They come in and dig out your kitchen and they put a circular wine cellar actually in your kitchen with a big glass top. It's amazing.
I was going to say, Greeny could bore anyone out of a kitchen.
Well, if you want to know a story about kitchens, cellars and stuff, we've got a secret tunnel that goes underneath the kitchen.
It's not your cellar, let's just clarify.
No, it's not the cellar. No, it's a secret tunnel. So the cellar is actually on the left, but underneath the kitchen floor is this tunnel that I don't live very far from the River Severn, and they used to use it as a smuggler's passage to get a booty up and down from the river, which would then be passed to the sea, Bristol and all that.
Can I just suggest that it's not very secret if you found about it and now you've told everyone about it?
Yeah, but I don't do the smuggling thing anymore.
No, but it's not a secret tunnel is what I'm saying. It's a well-known tunnel.
Well, you didn't know about it before, I just said it.
No, but now you know about it, it's not secret. And now you've told everyone that listens to the Max Show, it's definitely not secret anymore. So you've got to say, there's a well-known tunnel underneath my kitchen.
There's a relatively well-known but slightly secret tunnel.
That'll do. Patrice, I always feel sorry for Patrice because he goes just after Greeny, and by the time we finish screwing around with Greeny, we're 30 minutes in before we say, hello, Patrice.
Oh, hold on. Can I just finish?
No, you can't. Say hello, Patrice. We'll come back to you, Greeny. We'll come back. Hold that thought, mate, if you can.
We are not 30 minutes in, so it worked out somehow. I'm fine.
Good man. Glad to see you here. You've got a slight clip on your audio. I don't know what's causing that, whether it's me or whether it's you. But
yeah, probably going to reduce the volume.
Yeah, there we go. That's perfect. Go on, Greeny. What was your thought?
Well, it's not a thought so much, but this cottage was haunted for about 2 years, and we were getting loads of noises from the floor. And this is before we knew about the secret / unsecret tunnel.
Right.
And they were directly above, hobnail boots and stuff like that, directly above the secret tunnel. And so there's some sort of...
Was it a dead smuggler?
Well, I wouldn't like to say verisimilitude to it, but some sort of connected evidence that that there might be a reason why the kitchen was haunted, and it went on for about 2 years.
Right, okay. That only works if you believe in ghosts, though.
Well, I suppose so, but whether you believe or whether you don't believe, there were certainly noises.
There were some strange noises that made you fill your pants periodically.
Are you sure it wasn't Will Turner?
I've got to say, I've been to Greeny's house, and it is rather old, and some of the stories he's described of things that have happened and noises that have been made, I was getting the willies just listening to the story being retold, and I don't believe in ghosts. I think it's all bollocks myself, but there we go.
Oh, I'm a book.
You've got a book. Good lad.
No, I'm writing.
Come on.
Janet and John, book 3.
I've got a book, but I'm writing a book.
Oh, okay.
It's called The Ironbridge Ghost Tour.
Right.
And it's almost finished. So I'm going to get that published and make £1 million.
Great. Good luck to you, mate. Miller wants to know, does the secret tunnel lead to a secret lady garden? That's a Top Gear joke. The week in Apple, what's going on, what's been happening, and what can we really do without, because it's a slow news week. The only thing to say is there was a story out at the start of the week on Monday that Tim Cook said, and I quote, the Apple TV will ship next week. And I thought, well, don't you need to order it first? And then I read the rest of the story, and it said that orders begin on Monday.
Sir.
But I that seems a bit like, if you're going to, I mean, well, having said that, though, the old mouse pad and stuff, which we'll talk about in a minute, that came out last week, that was released on day one. I ordered it, and I got it on day two. So, I mean, they've got this new short lead time, it would seem, on delivering stuff. It's no longer order it a week in advance and we'll ramp up production.
Well, I think it depends on the product. I think the Apple TV has been ready to go, as exemplified by two rounds of sending them out to, you know, developers as dev kits. So
right, they've actually said that they can devs can submit their apps this week.
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned about the short lead time between the announcement and the release now, because I don't think the devs are ready.
Really? What makes you think that? Without breaching your NDA.
Between getting the dev kit and submitting an app, there have been 4 weeks, maybe. It's not that long.
But I mean, it can't be an awful. If you've got an app that's existing, it can't be that hard to recode, I would guess. The control interface would be an issue.
Yeah, that depends on the app.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a load of fart apps to begin with.
Different control. It is different.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said, the stuff that's going to be easy to port across will make it out next week. So you'll get 2 to 3 weeks, or maybe even a month, of just utterly shit apps that are free, that just want to get your data or something like that. And then after that, you'll start to get something that's really useful.
Well, I know a lot of the video apps, there are actually templates, I think, that you can use the dev kit for, sort of like pre-built templates that are very, very easy to configure. One good piece of news, though, as I saw on Twitter yesterday, is that Plex are going to have their app available on launch, which is tremendous.
Wow.
Instabuy. So that's going to be great.
Is that a duplication of function?
No, because, if you've got a Plex apps, got a Plex server with all your media on, and you use Plex on other devices, you can now use it on your Apple TV. It's always been the holy grail for me on the Apple TV is to have Plex on there. And there have been ways to actually get it onto Apple TV, but it's always meant not so much hacking, but, you know, it's quite difficult to actually get Plex to serve content to the Apple TV. But as of when the new version comes out, it's actually going to be an official app. So just buy it, install it, and away you go.
Do it. Do not buy Plex. It's rubbish.
Oh, Greeny, Christ almighty. Greeny, that was 4 years ago, and it was. It was shit, and it stuck to you like herpes, I grant you.
It's
not that anymore.
It's great. I use it every day.
You're like my Auntie Mabel, mate, who drank champagne, sherry, beer, and Avocado one night, one day at me mum and dad's, sat out in the sun all day, puked up, and then said, oh, the Avocado was terrible. and it was Greeny, you're out of date, mate. It was 4 years ago. It was shit, I grant you then. I'll give you that, absolutely. And like I said, it was in your system like herpes, but not anymore. Greeny, stick it back on. Go on, do it, dude.
I'm not going to do it.
You could do it live.
Yeah, but if you put it on, you can't get... You can't get the...
13 minutes, that's all right.
You can't get the software off. It's it's a bloody nightmare.
I had it at one time, at one point installed on my Mac, and I removed it. Easy.
But I think equally that was 4 years ago, Greeny.
Yeah.
I think it comes off a lot easier now. I think that was maybe one of their major criticisms that made them think maybe we should rethink this.
Oh, I don't know.
Go for it, pal.
You lot have been sort of brainwashed into Plex thing. It's a disease, and you must run away.
Yes. Every time we get a piece of functional software that actually just does what it says on the tin, it must be brainwashing, Greeny.
Yes.
Well,
it couldn't possibly be good business practice for a free app.
Well, I don't know.
I even pay for it.
You see? You paid for it.
Yeah, I even do that. You don't have to, but I do.
Greeny, bring your Mac over next week and live on the show in the studio with desktop presenter on so that we can all watch it happen. We'll install Plex.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not installing Plex on my Mac. No way.
What if I put it on mine and then let you have a look?
Yeah, but the thing is, you have to go through all your DVDs and rip them and la 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 la. It's old school. I'm not doing it. No way.
You haven't ripped your DVDs yet?
No.
Onto hard drives. You know it's 2015, right?
Yes. And not right. PC. Okay. Let me.
Next year, you won't be able to buy anything to play them.
Well, let me turn that around. It's who wants DVDs? I have been buying stuff that I already own on DVD, on iTunes or whatever.
Yeah.
just for the convenience. A bit so I can just stream on my Apple TV. I don't want to watch DVDs anymore. They're a pain in the bloody ass because they get scratched. And you can't watch them and stuff like that. And then and I also don't want to have to go through my whole DVD. I must have about 300 of the buggers and rip them all off and put them onto an external hard drive and stream them here and stream them there. It's time to move on. We've got the whole James Bond collection for £89.
There's a question. There's a question on from Deepan in the chat room. He wants to know what you're going to do with all your Betamax stuff.
I always want VHS myself.
Oh, you chav.
I still got my VHS player. And it works. I'll tell you what. If you look at it, I think...
Welcome to the Mac Show, cutting edge Apple news. Go ahead, Granny, sorry.
Well, all I was going to say is vinyl is now laughing at CDs because nobody buys CDs. Because
nobody buys vinyl much either. It's still a niche market, dude. It's not exactly Woolworths is coming back, is it?
Well, anyway, all I'm saying is vinyl is laughing their pants off at CDs, and iTunes and online media is laughing their pants off at crappy old DVDs.
Yeah, vinyl's laughing its socks off until they can't find anywhere to buy a needle for the gramophone.
But they do now. They're making new turntables and everything. It's great. You want to get
you guys? I'm gonna jump in defense of Will a little bit here because I'm kind of in the same boat.
Good old Adam.
Go ahead, mate. Go on.
I've moved to buying everything digital through iTunes as much as I can moving forward. I don't buy the little plastic discs anymore. I did though, Will. I ripped my entire old DVD collection. And I'm slowly kind of replacing them out. But that was more of a financial thing. You know, I'd love to be able to buy everything that I've already bought again, but I just don't want to respend that money. So I do have older stuff that I had on DVD that I converted all to digital, but I put it all into iTunes. So I've just got my whole entire collection into iTunes. I also messed around with Plex, and I have copies of all that stuff as backups that I could use for Plex server. And I tried it for a while. And because it was so difficult with the Apple TV, it didn't end up sticking for me. I'm probably going to give it another try. Whether or not I end up sticking with it, that remains to be seen. But I totally agree. Like, if you live in the Apple iTunes world, just having it all in there is so much easier than messing with all that other stuff. Now, I don't know if that's going to change now that we have Apple TV support. Maybe it won't be as bad, but... You know, there was a lot of tweaking and things that just, at the end of the day, iTunes was so much more simpler. And I just ended up going down that route. So,
I mean, if you have everything in iTunes, and then there's really no, I would say, no reason to use Plex.
Well, the remote access. I mean, if you want, you know, through remote access, Apple does not have really a great solution for the stuff that you've ripped yourself. That's the problem. You either have to rebuy everything in iTunes. It's fine for that. If you bought it through iTunes, no problem. But if you haven't, then you don't. Apple really doesn't have a solution for that. And I'm hoping they change that someday if they can ever get past the whole, you know, RIAA DRM thing with videos. I think we'll get there. But, you know, when
are you talking about getting past it legally?
Yeah, when we have iTunes Movie Match or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah,
that'll be great. But... You know, that's probably 5 years away.
None of the people on this panel will see that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Even the young one in the left corner. Glenn says he's got 3 terabytes of ripped movies on his Plex server as well. And I've ripped all of mine. We've got 600 plus movies that we had on DVD and that kind of stuff. And I've ripped all of those. Backed them up, sorry. So that we can watch them on Apple TV. I've backed up all of the Apple TV movies as well as. So, because I just think the thing that really bothers me is Amazon. I think this is where Amazon's really missing out because... I buy from Apple TV. I'm the same as you. If we watch a film, bang. And it's the way I see it. We watched San Andreas last night, which we thought was going to be a bit horrific as a, you know, it's not one of the high quality movies of the year. But there's lots of cracks opening up in there. And there's a big one in the earth as well as. And it was pleasurable. It was a nice, easygoing watch, brain off entertainment. And I bought it, and Sharon said, well, why did you just buy it? Why don't you rent it? I said, because it's like a fiver, and I can buy it for 13. And if we went to the cinema, it's going to cost me more than 13 quid to go and see it with you. Forget about the kids. So I just figured, why not just buy it? And that's the end of it. I've got it then. And if I like it, wow, great. And I think that's where Amazon really falls down, because if you buy a movie on Amazon, it's in the cloud forever. You get nothing. You don't get a DVD. You don't get a download to back up. You get absolutely sod all. And if for some reason there's a holy shit moment in copyright, it's gone. There is no way of backing up.
Yeah, and that's a huge problem. And that's another thing. On the Mac side, a lot of people rely on the fact that Apple will always have those movies in iTunes. You should be backing that stuff up. Yeah. Because you're not always guaranteed. If they have a falling out with a studio or a publisher or something like that, those things can go away. So you'd want to make sure you have a local copy, which will continue to work, even if those relationships end. So
it should continue to work as long as it's been purchased through your relevant account and it can verify.
Right.
Or there is another solution that I can tell you about afterwards.
Yes, there's those two.
Yeah, no. I can't wait for the Apple TV, I've got to say. I'm going to go straight in, dive in with the 64 gig as soon as it's available. I'll order it straight up. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to what it possibly can do. And I love my Apple TV. The voice activation really does, because I still cannot get past Front Row. It's just a bag of hurt. I hate it.
So what do you think about these people that are expounding, you know, there's the debate going on, 32 versus 64, and there's a camp forming that says spending the money on the 64 is a waste of money.
It depends what you, I think it's going to depend on, I think you've got to have the expansivity there potentially, because there might be something where you can download for an off, I'm thinking there might be an offline play facility. So if you've ordered three movies, it will keep your last three movies on there. So if you do get a problem with ISP coverage or something like that, you can still watch the last three movies or something like that that you've downloaded, that you've purchased.
But you think caching?
I think there might be some caching in there for your stuff. I think certainly they're probably going to cache rentals, perhaps, so that you can have it down there and you can watch it wherever you want. So if you download a movie, you can put it on your device and you can take your device on holiday with you and not have an internet connection. It'll still play. And also, I think I just want that ability to understand, well, there might be some really cool apps come out that may need a bit more memory. And
the apps are restricted. Apps can only use 200 megabytes at a time.
Yeah, but it's other content that they might end up referencing or something like that, or what you can actually do in terms of loading your own content on it and taking it as a portable device. Because one of the things that we've got, Chris Eschweiler listens to the show, and he's been on a couple of times, and he's in corporate presentation stuff. So he goes around setting up, you know, big screens for corporate presentations. And he says he was saying 2 years ago, one of the hottest things out there in corporate presentations at the moment is the Apple TV. And I think if they're sensible, Apple have got like a little half an eye on that market potentially. So, you know, I can sit and take the movie that I've just made for somebody and I can preload an Apple TV with it and I can take it with me to a conference and plug it in and they'll all just play. Because there's an interface there that you can voice activate. You can say, play such and such movie, and bang, it pops up on the screen behind you. That'd be really cool. I'm guessing, but I also know that the 32 gig iPad Air that I've got over here is sod all use. It's just there's just no space on it. I can get two movies on it to carry around with me, and that's it. And 32 is utter shit. So that's the other reason. Yeah. Tell me I'm wrong, gladly.
I know. I'm curious to hear from the others. What I was going to say is I'm throwing it out there because I'm in the camp that I believe that you should get as much storage with any Apple product now as you can afford at the time, because the things aren't upgradable. And this goes for laptops. This goes for, you know, everything moving forward. And I've just been burned so many times by the, oh, this is going to be enough argument. It'll be fine. And so I'm not going down that road. It's, you know, and you're talking doubling the storage for $50 more, you know, I'm just not going to make that mistake again. So I'm not buying it. And I get that, you know, storage is limited and a lot of stuff is going to be streaming and maybe you don't need it, but I'd rather err on the side of caution than get 6 months into it and be pissed because I don't have enough storage.
It's very strange that Apple haven't really given as much guidance to do with what the reasons why you might buy the high capacity one rather than the low capacity one. I mean, the only thing that I'm familiar with is the fact that if you do download an app, as Adam said, it's restricted to 200 meg, and then it will actually download extra bits as and when it needs them. So just how much is cached locally? Obviously, it's going to be cached within that 64 gig, but they haven't been very forthcoming in sort of selling the advantages of it and the benefits of it. And also, it's a bit strange that they actually do have the two different variants, really. If it's not going to make that much difference, you know. I'm the same. I'm going to go for the higher capacity one because, you know, same as Adam, I don't want to get burned if we find later on down the track that there's something that's, you know, that you're missing because of it. But it just seems weird of Apple to not really publish. Because it's not like, I mean, if you buy an iPad, you know the amount of storage that you get on the iPad is equivalent to the number of documents you can download or the number of movies that you can put on. But with this, because there's so much caching involved, how does it work? What gets cached? I mean, I'd never really considered using it as a mobile device before. And I don't know whether or not that's actually going to be the case, whether or not if you can store content on it locally and disconnect it and play it. I really don't know because it's still a big unknown, really.
I think, I mean, here's a thought. I think perhaps the 32 gig has only been put out there because Apple are a little bit conscious of the fact of doubling the price, more than doubling the price of the Apple TV. Otherwise, you know, if they'd have just gone, well, stuff it, you know, everyone can spend $200, it's nothing. $200, they'd be like, oh, hang on, not everyone can afford $200, and you've doubled the price of it, and how much more are we getting? And so I think they probably put that 150 mark as like, you know, okay, you can clearly see you're getting more, you can clearly see that it does more, and you can clearly see there's a value in the extra amount that we charged you, but we haven't doubled the price. So,
well, and it's easier for them to drop that to 99 at some point throughout the year.
Yeah.
So I think 8 to 12 months, that thing will be 99.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think so too.
No, that's it. I'm not buying it.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I think we are in the group of people where, A, it doesn't make much difference financially. I mean, it doesn't hurt us if we spend 50 or 100 bucks more for more storage. And I think we tend to, I mean, even if we don't have to, we tend to stick on the safe side because, well, as you said, we've been burned. I mean, I do the same thing. I buy the maximum capacity available, basically. Even if I don't need it. I mean, for my iPhone, the 6 Plus, I think I've maybe used half of the 128 I have, but I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah. I think, yeah, it's true.
The other thing that's being thrown in that, you know, you need to talk about is Apple has made some measures that should help across the board on iOS with some of the app thinning stuff. So maybe they're counting that, you know, this is going to become less of an issue. And that's another one of those arguments for the less storage as well. You know, we're not doing that thing where you're going to get the app on the Apple TV and it's going to have all the assets for, you know, the Retina iPad and all of the iPhone assets that you don't need that are just sitting there being unused. So,
well,
apps should be smaller.
You've got an Apple TV, obviously, I think, if you're...
Yes, second generation.
Oh, that's worth a fortune, mate. I've got three of those. I need to get them on eBay. They're 200 quid a pop.
Are they really? Where?
Yeah, no, it's going to pay for a shed load. Because they're hackable.
I sort of heard things, slight things about the new Apple TV, but I don't actually know anything about it.
Well, basically, it's a bigger unit. It stores more. It goes up to 64 gig.
Yeah.
It's got a remote control, which has got a built-in speaker, so you've got Siri integration as well, so you can ask Siri to search. The search is contextual as well, so you can say, Siri, show me the Bond movies. And then it'll show you the Bond movies, and you go, okay, just the ones with Sean Connery, and it'll just show you the ones with Sean Connery. It's also got an accelerometer in the remote control, so you can use it like a paddle, like a bat.
It sounds bloody awful to me.
Well, your kids will love it, you grumpy old bastard.
Of course it does.
Bah, fudging humbug.
Well, you know that the controller will get lost within like a week or two. The kids will post down the toilet or something will happen. Or
well, it comes with a leash now, so you can just leash it to them.
it'll be like the spoons and forks at your local cafe, mate. They'll be chained to the table.
Okay. But why on earth would you have an accelerometer and Siri on your Apple TV? I mean,
because it would be fun, you grumpy old bastard.
Well, and it's going to be like a games controller as well, isn't it?
Yeah. I think. And I can tell you, it's amazing.
You could use the Find My Remote app, says Miller. Deep Pan says, don't forget apps as well. You can install apps on it now. There'll be developers and there'll be an app store for the Apple TV.
And it's also going to be able to search across platforms. So if you search for a piece of content, it'll actually, you're not restricted just to one service. It will search across services so you can find it.
Although that part will not be available for at least for the first apps, because Apple hasn't released the API for it yet.
Ah, okay. And I think it's also going to be restricted to partners anyway, I think, initially. So.
Yeah, at first, yeah.
Tim Cook said that they will open it up eventually. This one's called Blue.
She's the beta. Oh, my life. You're looking at him, kid. Oh, fudge off. Won't be doing that story then. I hate that. I wouldn't mind, but I've got Ghost on here as well. It should be Ghostery. It should be shoving that stuff up its own arse. Good story. I hope the Apple TV is out on Monday, and I will be ordering it if I can get a signal in Wales where I'm working. Yes.
Now this isn't entirely aimed at an Apple audience. It's slightly Sky, but it's slightly connected with the Apple TV thing. On Sky, when you have the, you know, watch on demand movies, some movies are already cached, so they've already been downloaded somehow to your Skybox, and some you have to stream. Is there like a sort of undercurrent? Is there something that goes on that are promoting particular movies that are automatically cached? And will Apple do a similar thing, I wonder? Or doesn't it matter? Who cares? I don't know.
No, I know what you mean. Because one of the things is, if you look at the way Sky does it, the stuff that you have to stream, you have to go through the adverts that they want you to go through and the preamble and all that kind of stuff before you can watch it. Whereas the downloadable stuff, you can fast forward through any of that kind of stuff and get up to the program that you want. And it tends to be the slightly older stuff is downloadable, and the slightly more newer stuff that's likely to be popular is streamable so that you can see the ads in it. So I don't know if that applies. Gazmez says, I know the search is supposed to be good, but will it be able to find a recent episode of British Mac?
Yes, it will.
when? It's not out yet, is it?
Saturday the 31st, Halloween. It's almost done. I haven't done the news part yet. Keep it as current and up to date as it always has been. But yes. Anyway, ranking, I'm whopping your arse in the charts. I don't know that much.
Well, that's because you haven't published anything, mate. It's new subscribers because it automatically unsubscribes all your old subscribers.
Well,
you know, almost done in IT speak really means might be done in the next 10 years.
No, I have promised.
We're out of alpha.
I have literally hundreds of emails saying we can't wait for it to come back. That's really kind. So I'm looking forward to it. It's beginning with a seance, which I'm half and half whether it's appropriate.
Did you speak to anyone from beyond the grave, mate?
No, but I did speak to his widow about it, and she said it's okay.
Yeah, okay, but you didn't actually make contact then?
I haven't done the seance bit yet.
Oh, right, okay. Let's come in.
It will be David Nars, who is a very beautiful and gentle man, passed away between the period of the last British Mac and the next one. So what I'm doing, I hate to give this away.
Don't.
Then don't give it away, no, that's how I agree.
Okay, well, it's a seance at the start of British Mac and... And it's all of the regular rubbish with a great big tribute to the beautiful David Nars at the end.
Excellent, mate. I'm glad to hear that. Although I would point out that the number of people who could have died between the last British Mac and this one is probably quite significant.
Well, you say that, but I do have quite a young following. I'm not entirely sure why.
The young following could have passed away between the last British Mac and this one.
Well, the older people, I get a lot of emails saying that we use British Mac to go to sleep with.
That's a surprise.
Which I don't know whether it's a compliment or what it is, but however they value it, then that's a nice thing.
Oh, good point from Muller in the chat room. Are you going to do the seance in the cellar? Ooh, that'd be good.
I won't be able to see what I'm doing, will I? Because the light bulb's gone.
Live from the... Take a torch, you muppet.
It is the number one show in post-mortem iTunes, by the way. And that would be because it is the only show in post-mortem iTunes.
Well, there you are, then.
Jolly good.
Take that up, Starlight Express.
I forgot what I was going to say now. Bollocks. Siri is more distracting than Google now whilst driving.
Yeah.
I don't really give a shit about that story, but has anyone noticed that Siri on the watch was shit after 2.0 update? And then they've done an update this week, and it's working again now, because I couldn't get... I had it the other day, and I couldn't get it to work at all. It was just like, come on.
Here's my biggest problem with Siri in the car now, is having an Apple Watch and having Siri, like 50% of the time, the Apple Watch picks up my voice commands, and the Apple Watch is much more limited in terms of Siri stuff. And so I'm constantly fighting getting actually the phone to respond to Siri rather than the stupid watch. And I wish Apple was smarter about that. To recognize, okay, you're in the car now, you probably want to use the phone, not the friggin' watch.
Yeah, I mean, the Hey Siri thing as well, it's utter bollocks. That's an absolute, as far as I'm concerned, it's the king's new clothes, because I've done it off power, I've done it on power, I've trained it, and it never... I cannot get it to... Hey Siri, it does not come on.
Yeah, it works pretty well for me. The only issue I have, again, in the car, and this, I think... There's a lot of factors that happen in the car that I think caused Apple to not do well in this test. Another thing they seem to have tweaked is if you're listening to audio, like a podcast or music, Hey Siri is very non-responsive. And I think it's because it's recognizing that there's other audio going on.
Yeah.
And it ignores those commands. But like that doesn't work out very well if you're trying to, you know, listen to some music and then switch over and get some directions to something. It causes a lot of problems. So Apple has... I agree, Apple has made things worse with the watch and with the stuff in the car. They need to get that sorted out.
Trying to use Siri and stuff in the car, because it just doesn't work 9 times out of 10. And I think if it was... what I really want is a proper CarPlay implementation within the car, so you've got the proper buttons and things so you can control... I think just trying to do it just with the phone mounted in a third party holder on the dashboard, it's just not good.
Siri in the car.
Yeah, but I know the CarPlay exists, but I just haven't got it in my car, so I'm waiting.
No, but Ken would do a stereo that you can put in your car. Does CarPlay. It's got CarPlay integration.
Mm. So does Alpine or somebody? There's a couple manufacturers that make aftermarket ones.
Yeah, you've got to... You have a 1987 BMW 3 Series, but otherwise you don't get the chocolate box lot.
Parrot was going to do one for a while, and then they kind of bailed out or turned it into more of an OEM thing, so they're working directly with manufacturers. But they had a really nice unit that I was looking forward to that was supposed to be aftermarket, and they decided not to do that, and they're only working with car partners to sort of build their systems for them. So
my issue with Siri on the Apple Watch is, I mean, I'm using it a couple of times a day to control my HomeKit stuff, and sometimes it works and sometimes just nothing happens. I can issue the same command twice in a row, and first time it doesn't work, the second time it works.
Yeah, I've got to say Cortana knocks spots off Siri in terms of functionality. The wife's got it on her phone, Alice's got it on his phone, and it is superb. Simple stuff.
In that study, though, Microsoft was a lot worse than Apple and Google for the car thing. Cortana scored worse.
No, I find it... It's just the thing that's simple for me is... Because of where my postcode, Siri automatically decides where my home is based on my postcode and based on where it is in the map. But it hasn't got me in the right place. It's got me around the corner in the next road. So if you say, when I get home, do the following, I've never got any of those reminders, because according to Siri, I've never been home. Whereas Cortana, you can say, this location is my home, and it sets it.
Right.
which is really stupid, I think. How are we all getting on with our trackpads? Because we've had those nearly a week now. Look, here we go. Here's my trackpad that I bought last time. It's really good.
Here's my thing about the trackpad, and I'm going to check my battery right now. So I have a unsupported Mac
on
the trackpad. I have a 2011 MacBook Pro, which only has Bluetooth 2. And I've been using it now for a couple days. The battery is at 90%, and all of the functionality works. So I can't figure out why the heck it needs Bluetooth 4.0, because I don't have it, and the Force Touch works. All of the controls work.
Interesting.
I've got, I have to say, mine's, I've just opened, now you said that about battery power, I was thinking, Christ, I haven't plugged mine in since I actually arrived in the post. So this came out of the post last Tuesday, and I've just checked the battery power on it, and it's 63%. And I have been using it solidly for the last 3 days, pretty much.
So, a lot of people were speculating it was, you needed the low energy Bluetooth so you didn't run the battery down, and that if you used it in with a Bluetooth 2 device that it would lose power more quickly. But I'm not noticing that after, about 2 days of usage. It doesn't seem to be an issue. So I'm not really sure why the Bluetooth 4.0 requirement, because I was going to use an adapter. I went out and I got a little Bluetooth 4 USB adapter, and that didn't work at all because you had to go in and hack the KX files, which you can't do now because of system integrity protection in El Capitan. So that was a total non-starter, at least for me, because I'm not going to disable SIP. So I was pleasantly surprised to find out, because I figured I'd buy it, and if it didn't work with the Bluetooth, I'd just use it wired through the USB, which works great. But it's totally working for me. So I don't know. I'm really confused as to why Apple has that requirement.
Hello, Vic. She sat there in Greeny's garden. The thing is, that point you've just made there about the battery will run down faster, that's a relative term. And based on the fact that I've used this solidly for 10 days and very heavily for the last 3 days, and I'm at 63%, you still might be draining the power a little bit faster, but you're not going to notice the difference because the battery in this is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. I use it 8 to 10 hours a day for the past 2 days, and I'm at 90%.
All right, so you are using it faster than me then, because I've used it ridiculously for the last 10 days, and it's at 63%. So, yeah, yours is slower and shittier, just not enough to get worried about.
But we'll see. But, if I have to plug it in, once a month, that's not going to be a problem. I don't know what does Apple say, frequently you should have to recharge it? Is it every couple months?
I didn't know they put an amount on, because I would have thought it was based on use and numbers of presses. And
I had mine the same time as you, Ewan, and I just checked mine in. Mine's 87, and I've been using it every day.
Yeah, so.
It's amazing.
Maybe I'm the one on Bluetooth 2.0.
I don't know, but it's just, so for anybody out there who has an older machine and has been curious about it, I would say give it a shot. But, Jason Snell... What prompted me to do it is Jason Snell did some testing and sort of found the same thing. Now, he only had a couple machines to test it on, but he's like, as near as I can tell, I would think that once you've upgraded to El Capitan, it should all work fine. He tried it even on an older Mac that wasn't El Capitan, and you just got basic functionality. So, even if you haven't upgraded yet, you don't get the Force Touch support because that's part of the software, but it will still do the right-click and regular click. Just like the old trackpad on an older system on an older Mac. So,
Has anyone had any problems with click and drag? Because particularly file pickup. So if I'm in Finder, you go to pick a file up and drag it from one window to the next, and I'm not getting a second press. It's not like I've gone click click through the Force Touch, and then it wants to highlight the files around it. And then you click it and it wants to change the file name. And then you click it again and it opens it a preview. And then you click it again and it opens in an application. To actually pick the file up clean and then move it from window to window is a real pain in the arse. It's the only thing I've really felt like throwing it across the room a couple of times this week. But,
but
it's the only thing that I've got wrong with.
Force touch moments, and it's really annoying.
I've sort of got around that by using the three-finger drag, which seems to work. Because the first couple of days, I found that I kept doing the same thing by pressing too hard or It just wasn't working as I used to work it, but I use a three-finger drag now on it, and it's that works very well, actually. I'm starting to get used to that now, and you can just use a three-finger drag to pull the file to anywhere you want and let go, and it works.
I'm gonna is that something go, you then. Do in the settings?
Yeah, I think you have to go into accessibility to enable three-finger drag, because I use three-finger drag for moving windows around as well, which I've always done. But then I used to use just the more traditional way of dragging a file, but I found that the three-finger drag also works when you're dragging files around as well.
I use the KitKat drag.
Go on, Greeny.
Four fingers.
The four fingers. Because four fingers is enough for anyone.
I think so.
Excellent.
But we probably shouldn't go down there, should we?
Okay, so that's a setting in accessibility, mouse and trackpad under trackpad options.
Yeah.
There we go. It's the only thing that's really pissed me off. And I like the three-finger drag because or the three-finger motion, the swipe, because it's good for going backwards and forwards between windows and stuff like that. And especially in, even if in Chrome, you know, to go backwards and forwards between your browser pages. So I don't want to lose that, but equally, it is pissing me off. It does have to go.
So what's the big deal between the old trackpad, which I've got, slightly broken, but it still works, and the new one? I mean, what's the advantage? Why would I bother?
Well, it's,
I like
it's,
the size.
The size is significantly better. It sits flatter to the desk by a long, long way, which is really good. It's got an integrated battery, which just lasts forever, it would seem. And it's got force touch on it, so you can do a lot of things like scrolling through movies and things like that with it, or you can do different ways of picking stuff up.
Now,
and moving
okay,
it.
Let's be honest about that feature. That feature is...
What, force touch?
No, the fast forwarding through movies, because you can't control. It's got like, you were talking about this last week. It's got like six levels of fast forward, and you cannot stick on any one of them because it freaking switches to 10x, 30x, like almost immediately.
Yeah,
and if you have the dexterity to leave it at 2x, you are amazing. You have superpowers.
Well, I've got the touch on clumsy bastard mode. And
I did that too, and that didn't seem to help.
No, but I've started to get used to it now. It works. And I got to say, pinch and zoom in Final Cut Pro, Final Cut 10, if you use the pinch and zoom function to open out the timeline, the magnetic timeline, and bring it down again, it's fantastic.
Mm.
So if you want to paste them from one place to another, you just open it out, select the one that you want, close it down, and paste it where you want, and open it out again. It's brilliant.
Well, that would work on the old trackpad, right?
Yeah, I don't care about that, though, because the old trackpad was shit because of the size of it. I hated the fact that my wrist always leant back and that kind of stuff. I've been using it for 10 days now, and I've got no pains in my wrist or anything yet. He said rubbing his wrist.
Yeah, I've been doing a big experiment this week. I normally use a Wacom pen tablet, and I use it as a mouse replacement. But, of course, by doing that, it's very accurate and it's very quick, but there are no gestures, and I thought, well, perhaps it's time now to look at the Magic Trackpad and go over to using the track, because I use gestures quite a bit on my laptop. But when I'm on my desk, because I'm using the pen tablet, you know, all those gestures are lost to me now. Obviously, force touch is lost, etc. So I gave up my pen tablet for the week, and I'm still on the trackpad. It did slow me down initially, and I still think it's more accurate to use the pen tablet, but I've now got the benefit of being able to access all the gestures and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So at the moment, I think I'm going to be sticking with the trackpad and consign the pen tablet to... the gadget drawer.
I find it crap for fine stuff, though. So, I mean, I've been in video for pretty much the last 10 days. So, but if I went into Photoshop and I had to cut round something, I know that's going to... I've done it a couple of times this week, and that is painful, because you end up holding your finger, and you're almost... I think you probably do too much force in your own mind to hold it steady to think you get more accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not working. And the thing that's really annoying is, if you've got a USB mouse that you've plugged in, that USB mouse is disabled while the trackpad is connected, which is
which
is wrong.
You know the new PenThink?
The new PenThink,
for
the iPad Pro.
Pencil.
Right. I was just thinking about what Don was saying there. I mean, can you use the pen with the trackpad so it becomes a tablet and it's...
They haven't said that, but that might be a nice thought. Or the other thing is, if the iPad Pro comes out, you can use it as a Wacom tablet.
Mm-hmm.
And link it via USB to your or Bluetooth to your Mac. Yeah, that would be
awesome. I think that's going to be possible. I think you will be able to. Someone's going to come up with an app, or if Apple doesn't do it itself, where you will be able to use the iPad Pro as
There's already an app which you can use an existing iPad
Pixel Film Studios
like a pen tablet for your Mac.
Yeah, Pixel Film Studios has got a specific interface for Final Cut, where you've got a jog wheel, shuttle wheel on it, and all that kind of stuff, and shortcuts.
Right, there's another one which I'm just looking up, which allows you to use it on any drawing app. It's not app-specific. It's really neat. Hang on. I haven't used it very much, but it was pointed out to me when I made the same comment on Twitter that, you know, perhaps it would be good to use the iPad Pro as like a Wacom Pen tablet for your Mac, and someone pointed me to... I'll need to check it out. I can't find it now, but I'll use that as my pick for this week, actually, once I do find it.
Okay. I'd be willing to bet you right now that Adobe will do something for their apps.
Yeah. Wouldn't be surprised.
I could see that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Don?
Yeah?
When's your next podcast coming out?
It'll be a week today.
Okay. No, because it's before Thursday, if that's okay. Or if you could just forward me the show notes, or Adam, do the same.
What for?
Because he doesn't have to look at the news.
Mine comes out today. He uses our show notes to do his show.
Okay.
It works really well.
Why don't you just ask Adam if he'll email them to you? Because he's a nice guy. He'll probably just say, yeah, no worries.
They're posted on my website. Anybody can get them. And they're in OPML, so if you want to pull them into your own Outliner, you can.
Yeah, and I've got transcripts of all mine. You can just go in and just download the transcripts. I mean, that's not a...
Okay, that's good.
Mine are in an portable, standard format, so...
That counts as copyright permission right there, Grinny. You good?
Yeah. I won't credit you, obviously.
Oh, good.
Well, there's a surprise.
Well, then you will be in violation of the Creative Commons copyright, and I'll have a barrister contact you.
You get a barrister? You got a barrister in California? Because you can't afford an English one, that's for sure. Christ, mate.
Well, to be honest, there's not a fat lot going on, is there? So I'd imagine both of your show notes aren't particularly...
I wouldn't start slagging them off, mate. They've
off.
Just said go ahead, and now you want to go, well, actually, you're probably shit anyway, aren't you?
That's all I'm saying.
God, blimey, Greenie. That's a cake and eat it moment right there, isn't it?
No, you can have whatever you want, Will.
Take it
off.
Help yourself. Just go mad.
Excellent. This show and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They're brilliant. They've been looking after us now for 7 years, and we couldn't do the show without them. We certainly couldn't store the amount of video and audio that we've got without them. It goes up onto our server. You can get stuff going back to the Bagel Tech days if you want to bother to go and have a troll through all the files. Loads and loads and loads of stuff is on there, and you can search for it, and you can find it, and you can play it, and you can have fun with it, and you'll love it. Please support them because they support us. If you want to sign into your account, go to britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 and it'll take you via our tracking link, so they'll know that you're a returning customer from BTN. And if you want to buy anything, go to /sponsors and all the offer codes are in there and that kind of stuff. And we're still talking to them about putting together something that'll help you get rid of Dropbox. I used Dropbox last night because I had a 2 gig file that I wanted to upload, and it took 4 hours to upload to Dropbox. It was just the most horrific experience. So using your own server is far, far better. Should have done that, really, and used I can't remember the name of it. The one with... thanks for that sponsorship message. No. Very good. Check out UK2 because they're absolutely awesome. Cyberduck, that's the one I was thinking of. Right, it's time for the cool thing. We've got some really good cool things coming up, I think. Don, you've already picked yours, kind of, but go through it just officially.
Right, it's AstroPad, and thanks to Doc Rock, who's in the he's on Twitter. Couldn't join us, but he's on Twitter now, so he pointed me out, and I've just found it. Yeah, it basically turns your iPhone or your iPad into a graphics tablet. And I've not used it very much, because, as I say, I really wanted to see what was going on with the iPad Pro when it came out, and I've noticed on their website they actually have got a link for iPad Pro as well, which I'll have to investigate more. But it's over at astropad.com. Oh, here we go. They've got a mailing list to be notified when they get a free update for AstroPad for iPad Pro when it comes out. Woo-hoo. It's really good in that you can, if you have a graphics package on your Mac that you normally would draw in, you can set up AstroPad so that it mirrors your screen on your iPad, and you can actually draw on your iPad and you see it sort of reflected back on the Mac screen. It's pretty neat. But that's my quick pick for today.
Might be downloading that and I'm having to play myself. Right, good stuff. Adam, what have you got for us?
I've got one of these. You see that?
It looks like a sphere, right?
But except, notice it's totally clear, right?
Yeah.
And you can see, like, the induction charging thing in here, and you can see all the bits and parts and stuff like that. This is the Sphero. Nice. These guys sent this to me. But you guys know I love Sphero stuff, and I love this one because it is their education edition. It's called the Spark, S-P-R-K. And the reason it's clear is to sort of inspire kids and people to mess around with this, and they have some apps that go with this that let you actually do programming. And what I really love about it is, so it comes in a little kit. It comes with a protractor and a notepad and things like that. But if you go to their website at sphero.com/education, they also have guides for teachers and things like that that you can download. And you can use these things in your classroom to kind of help kids learn programming. And they have a couple different apps. So they have things that are more like macro. So for like younger kids, they can kind of, you know, set it up to do distances and kind of gauge how that works and see what happens when you change variables and parameters in little widgets and sort of like block programming. So they don't have to really do programming, but more or less sort of link macros together, almost sort of like if you've ever used Automator, right? It's almost like doing an Automator script. But as you get more advanced, you can drill down all the way into the code level. So there's a code API. I was trying to find the name of it. I think the language is called Orb, but it's sort of C-based, and you can sort of grow and move up to where you're actually writing programs to get the Sphero to do things. And you can control almost everything. So it's got, you know, like crash sensors. So there's, you know, gyroscopes in here. You can control those. You can control the colors. You can control the motors and the speed of the motors to get it to do different things. And it's just a great way to get kids inspired and sort of into programming. So I'm playing around with this with my kids who are kind of into that stuff.
Cool.
And the teacher guides really help out because you can kind of set up a lesson and do various things. So get it, you know, see if you can get it to follow a line or go through a maze or, you know, and even make your own little games with it.
I know so. There is probably some money in it for them, but I've got to say that that Sphero do look like they're giving back a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the kit, the Spark kit is I believe $129. And I think they do have a program. If you are a school, you can kind of get a multi-pack. They're starting to multi-pack these things. So if you need a set for your classroom or something like that, they have discounts and things like that for that. So
The reason Doc's not here is because he listened to Righty Boy and Chris Campion talking about World Time Buddy. Apparently, and he's got the time wrong. He's got up an hour late for the show because of it. And Paul Wheatley put a thing in saying, don't forget we do daylight savings this weekend, which you guys have already done, haven't you? So Doc's turned up late. So Doc shouldn't have done anything because I don't think Hawaii changes, do they? Do they stay
no,
the same?
No, he was expecting we changed already.
No, we don't change till next week. So,
yes.
So there you go, Doc. Bad luck, mate. And he should have just, I mean, don't listen to Righty and Campion, mate. Just check World Time Buddy because they'll change automatically for that. It's minute by minute, isn't it? So there we go. No, they don't change. Greeny Boy, what have you got for us, pal?
I've got SketchUp by Google.
It is awesome.
Great app.
It is awesome, yes. Go for it.
So I had to do a sort of 3D model the other day. I think one is about £300, and there's a free one as well. I've got both, and I can't quite figure out the difference. Not massive.
No, the free one's very good value.
So I'll go for the free one. Superb. It really is very good value, isn't it? And there's a lot of sort of already built buildings and cars and things that you can put into your 3D model, and it's terrific. So I earned some money using SketchUp, so I'm going to recommend that. I love it. It's good.
Hey, SketchUp's awesome. I can't get over how easy it is to manipulate stuff. I can't use AutoCAD or anything like that, but I can use SketchUp.
Yeah.
And it's accurate as well because you can do specific measurements and still get what you want.
Yeah.
And it also does 3D output files as well. So if you know your output that you need for a 3D printer, it'll do that for you.
Will it?
Yes. You can draw anything you like. As long as it will fit on the platen, it will make it from the SketchUp file, if it's a 3D file.
does it confuse you a little bit? You know, when it has the sort of axis, so you go like, you know, that way, that way, that way, that way.
Yeah.
That slightly confuses me. I turn that off.
I mean, if you look at the colours on the axis, that helps. But also, there's certain points where you're looking at something, especially if it's symmetrical. You can't remember whether that's the top or the bottom or the left or the right. Yeah, I go along with that. And it's not just because, you know, we're easily confused. It's because it is difficult. But you've got to just learn the colours on the axes. There's red, green and blue, isn't there?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I made a bit of it.
I may have found my new office. I just went to the SketchUp page. They've got this cool-looking shed thing. Yeah. Might build this thing.
It's really easy to do. I mean, to actually just, you start off with if you wanted to build a house, for example, if you know the dimensions of how big you want it, you can specify your dimensions out on the floor, and then you just draw a square for the base of it and lift that up to the height that you want, and then you can click on a thing and specify the height, and it'll stop at the height. And you're going, oh, okay, but I actually want a bay at the back. You can actually then draw a semicircle, select the back half of the semicircle, and lift up just that semicircle within the thing, and it makes then... That becomes a surface that can be selected in itself. So it'll attach the extra things that you build up on it to make it into a solid object. It's absolutely fantastic. And there's also a program for hiving out the middle so you can make hollow 3D printed 3D structures as well. It's worth every penny of free, no question. And last, Patrice, what have you got for us, mate?
I'm going to pick a writing app, one you are probably familiar with. It's called Ulysses. I've been using, Folding Text till now. But for some reason, I don't know, it's not progressing the way I wanted or not at all. So I was in the market for something new, and I'm trying Ulysses, the demo right now. And it's amazing. I mean, it works really well. It's clean. It's quick. I mean, I'm basically spending, I would say, half of my day in Markdown files for meeting minutes and all of that. So I really need a good and quick Markdown editor, and that one is great. And it's £35 or $45 or €45. So really great.
I really need to get into the text apps because it's one of the things that I don't do very much of. I've got to say my biggest text typing tool is Notepad. Mm-hmm. And now it's got a bit better with Photos, and it's a bit closer to old, not Photos, with drawings and stuff. And it's got a bit closer to the old OneNote. I'm struggling to get away, but I really should do something. Certainly the other one is Text Expander. I haven't got into Text Expander, and I should.
No, don't bother.
Patrice, what did you say you were using before this? I use a lot of Markdown, and I've been a Byword user for a long time, but I'm curious about other apps.
Yeah, it's called Folding Text. It's one we, at Tua, I think we reviewed once, or had, I think even had the guy on Ask Tua. So, it's great. It's just, yeah.
Text Expander and Markdown are a complete pain in the arse. I wouldn't bother with either of them. It takes longer to figure out than to actually use them.
I don't think that's true of the people that are into it. I think it's one of those things. Mm. If you learn the shortcuts and you learn the languages, then you get into it. I know Paul Wheatley uses it heavily for a lot of the emails he sends out for the shows for booking guests. They're all standard Text Expander snippets.
Yeah, and Markdown. I mean, Markdown is so simple that, I mean, once you're in it, it's way easier than I would say almost anything else, except plain text maybe.
Well, and here's the thing, it's portable. All your documents mm-hmm. are portable at that point, and because they're all just text files at the core of them, but then mm-hmm. you can take them and do a ton more with them if you want. So, you know, if I want to make that a PDF or an HTML page or a Word document, it is incredibly simple to do. You just convert it.
I've written my master's thesis with Markdown. Something like 100 pages, just plain Markdown, modern Markdown.
Greeny's about to go off on one because of a comment that Doc's put in the chat room, which is bullshit, Greeny. There's only 10 commands to learn.
No, I'm going to turn this around. That is rubbish. It's okay, so I'm writing the book. It's almost finished. The book is about ghosts of Ironbridge, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Why would I bother doing that in Markdown? I just drag it because in.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Exactly. Why would I think?
No, why wouldn't you?
Well, why bother? Why
I'm gonna gift you David Sparks' book.
Yeah.
I don't want David Sparks' book. You can take David Sparks' book and show it up your Starlight Express.
Easy.
No, in all seriousness, I don't see why there's need to add an extra layer of complexity to what is simply writing a letter or... Well, that's it, really, I suppose. You're just writing a letter. Yeah. Why do you have to put in...
Simple. Formatting.
Make something bold.
No, well, it's portability, isn't it? And making it secure for the future. I mean, yeah. I'm sure there's lots of text documents I wrote many years ago that the applications no longer exist, and the proprietary file formats are all screwed up. You open a Word document, put three words in, and it's 6 meg or something. It's crazy.
I still get, honestly, I swear to you, I still get emails from people to my show that say, I found some old AppleWorks documents, or I found some old WordPerfect documents, and I really want to get those back. It's stuff that I wrote when I was, back in school or in college or whatever, and I don't know how to open them.
Well, but who's to say that a markup won't be dead in 10 years or whatever?
It's pure text. It's never going to be dead.
It's pure text. There's nothing special about the format. It's TXT.
Yeah. Plain text.
Which, to be fair, Windows Notepad will do for you as well.
Yeah. Well, that's the other great thing about Markdown is you can use a fancy app, or you can use the basic app that you have. You can do it in Notes.
You can use the command
that's
line.
That's the beauty of it.
There you go.
If you want.
Well, that just doesn't sound very good to me. It sounds rather dull.
If you're really nerdy, you can use like Nano.
Yes,
it's the dullness of it.
This show, apart from Greeny, recommends Plex and Markdown.
And Text Expander.
Text Expander, oh, don't even go there. That's awful.
Fantastic application.
You won't be able to pick mine as shit, because I guarantee you haven't used it. My cool thing is NoteBurner. And you're sitting going on, well, why do I want NoteBurner? Because it's just another rip-in application. No, it's a really good way of backing up your DVDs. Great. And here's the best bit. It also backs up your Apple movies as well, so that you can play them. It's 35 quid if you want to buy it. You can get it for Mac or for Windows, and it converts on a one-to-one basis. So if your movie lasts 2 hours, it'll take 2 hours to convert it. But it says it's lossless, and it's not. It's not perfectly lossless, but the amount that it loses it by is infinitesimal. So.
Does it strip out the DRM on movies?
Does it what?
I strip out the DRM on movies.
I couldn't say. I simply couldn't. Although the DRM times 20 with the big crosshair on the right-hand corner of the advert may suggest that it does, Greeny. Go on, Adam, you were saying?
The fact that it says remove DRM from iTunes movies right on the page there, that's an indicator too. No, my only question about these is, to buy it, can you just straight buy it, or do you have to do some weird backdoor secret handshake, nudge, wink, wink kind of thing?
Just click on buy, and then you pay for it, and it sends you a download link.
That's good. That's always been my problem with these guys, because they have to hide, and you have to do, some of these sites make you do this weird, hey, we'll send you this link to this secret forum post, and then go to that post, and then we'll send you over to this other guy around the corner, and you tell him the secret password. And then he will give you a download link for this other site. Yeah, I don't like doing that stuff.
No. From what I, NoteBurner works. It does.
I've heard this is a great app.
Yeah, it just works. It just does what it says on the tin, Greeny, and it will back up for posterity all of your Apple movies as long as you've downloaded them off the server. It won't do them while they're still up on the Apple servers. Don't forget. You will need to buy some storage. You will need
MPAA
to download them.
Get off of that thing and just, go the way of RIAA and let us have DRM-free stuff, knowing that most of us are not criminals.
Because there's enough that don't.
It's when you, for instance, buy a DVD, you own the actual DVD, but you don't own the movie on the DVD.
You own the physical disc, but you only have a license to watch the movie.
So how does this one work then?
How does this one work?
Yeah.
It doesn't have a DVD. It's a software that, that helps you back up your existence.
It basically uses the analog hole. I mean, my understanding is the way it works and why it can't be totally lossless is it's playing back the movie and then basically capturing the frames through like almost like screen capture and then re-encoding it.
There you go.
If you want to know technologically how it works, I mean, that's an oversimplification of probably what it's doing, but that's in essence what it's doing.
I wouldn't waste your words on me, to be honest with you. A technological overview, really.
Doc has added a little bit in the bottom. Apparently it does Audible files as well, which is truly horrific. Ooh. DRM. I've got no end of Audible books that I add. And
let me ask whether it does Audible files.
No, I thought you said does it do?
Does it do?
Sorry, I thought you said does. No, I don't think it does, I think then. Because I wouldn't have known that if it did. It says retain Dolby on your audio, but it doesn't say it does any Audible. Well, I think Audible is the last audio DRM that there is out there. I can't think of any.
I think you can. I haven't tested it, but can't you audio hijack your Audible files?
Yeah, you've got to. You've got to play them in real time. You've got to do the analog route, haven't you? That's the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But it'll work.
Yeah, no, it works.
And you can just automate it.
And Muller's chimed in, Greeny, it rips Betamax as well.
Not sure it does for anyone that's listening and believes that statement. excellent chaps. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Don?
Right, you can find me over at screencastonline.com for my weekly video tutorials on the Mac and iOS, and also on the Twitter as Don McAllister.
Thanks, mate. Where are you, Mr. MacCast?
MacCast.com, MacCast on Twitter, pretty much every place else, and also the iOS show at theiosshow.com.
Excellent, buddy. Greeny boy, where will we be finding you this week?
Okay, so BritishMac.com is my website. Well, my Twitter is BritishMac. Or you can email me if you want to.
People could actually follow your ass, couldn't they?
Yep. They could follow my ass,
but it's a very beautiful thing. And I'm also doing, the email is will@britishmac.com. And if you want to see me live, I'm playing down the Tontine in Ironbridge this Friday. And remember, this Saturday will be a brand new British Mac in over a year. So that's available on Halloween.
Excellent, mate. Are you playing as in tonight or as in next Friday?
Next Friday, the 30th.
Oh, right. The wife and family might not be here that night, so I might just pop over.
Yeah, come along.
Yeah. Yeah, might have a sherbet. Great, mate. Glad you're back. And last but by no means least, of course, Mr. Patrice, where are you?
Well, every Friday on the Mac Show on the British Tech Network, on Twitter at @casual_kitchen, my links and all of the other stuff on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. We'll be back next week. I'm pretty sure we're here on Thursday. Friday, I'm pretty sure about, but not dead set. But we should be around. I'm sorry it's taken a little while to post last week's shows. I really want the specifier file size feature back in Handbrake because it's a pain in the ass. I ripped last week's Mac Show 3 times to get it under 500 meg. Either that, or I want the server, or I want WordPress to stop putting the 500 meg limit on it. Bastard. So there we go. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. See you next week. Thanks to Wrighty for hosting last night. I do appreciate it, mate. And for stepping in at the last minute. We'll see you soon. Take care. Thanks for listening. Greeny, you show your ass no love whatsoever. I've been watching that account, mate, and you treat it like it's someone else's ass.
That's not fair.
A smelly one that's got shit stuck to it as well.
I do show it some love.
Anyway, I haven't got a dive, guys, so good to see you again. See you next week.
You got to dive on Greeny's ass?
No, I've got to go.
Oh, right, okay, thank God for that.
I've got to go. Bye.